WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. A suspected Chinese balloon still flying high above western states, last seen over Montana near some nuclear missile silo fields and well above commercial air traffic, the U.S. military deciding for now not to shoot it down. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
The administration facing growing criticism. And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calling for a meeting of the so-called Gang of Eight, the top congressional leaders, saying China's brazen disregard for U.S. sovereignty is a destabilizing action that must be addressed.
Later this morning, the federal government releases its latest jobs numbers. Analysts expect job growth is to slow slightly, but they say big corporate layoffs have made the true unemployment picture unclear. Bitter cold now sweeping into the Northeast after leaving parts of the Midwest and the South in a deep freeze. Austin, Texas now reporting more than 280,000 power outages, and icy roads are being blamed for at least 10 deaths in Texas, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. This is ABC News. A British treasure hunter struck gold with his metal detector, unearthing a gold pendant inscribed with the initials of King Henry VIII and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. ABC's Will Gantz reports.
Charlie Clark says he screamed like a schoolgirl when he found the necklace.
It all happened very quickly, about 20 minutes, and got a signal.
Charlie digging about a foot into the dirt to unearth the heart-shaped pendant.
The gold work even then stood out.
According to the British Museum, nothing of this size nor importance from the Renaissance period has been found in the UK for more than a quarter of a century.
A new twist in the case made famous on the Serial True Crime podcast. An appellate court Thursday heard a request to redo the hearing that exonerated Adnan Syed for the murder of Haman Lee. Syed was freed from prison in September after serving more than two decades for the murder. The appellate court is expected to rule on the request by summer. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard,
whoa,
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with a friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Friday, February 3rd. It's probably another beautiful day on Lake Wissota, but we are on the road today, so you're going to have to take my word for it that, once again, if you're anywhere near Chippewa County, it's a beautiful place to be. But while on the road, we went to go check out the new Civic Media studio that is under construction in downtown Green Bay, met Dr. Kristen Lyerly up there, and did not realize it was still pretty early in the construction phase. So, Aaron, I know that being a Manitowoc native, you'd love to have the opportunity to go to the City Deck landing in downtown Green Bay and do a show. Just not yet. Don't go there anytime soon. It's a lot of sawdust right now.
Yeah, sounds about right. Because, I mean, right now we're just running everything remotely. Like, we're broadcasting to Green Bay, but we're not broadcasting from Green Bay yet.
Right. Yep. And, you know, it's I think the station is still licensed to Denmark, if I'm not mistaken, the community of Denmark, not the country. You know, and it's the studio itself that is moving. And it just kind of, as I was visiting with my in-laws, we were talking about the days when basically every town, not every town, but, you know, you didn't have, let's use Green Bay as an example. You didn't have 12 radio stations in Green Bay. You had maybe three or four. And then, you know, one was licensed to Manitowoc, one was licensed to Denmark, and one was licensed to wherever. And, you know, radio was much more, shall we say, hyper-local back in those days. And now it's much more regional, and studios move about. And we are definitely looking forward to doing some shows from there, along with, you know, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids. You heard Luke, if you didn't hear Luke Mathers yesterday, Hayward is about to go online, if it hasn't already. So that's big news, and many more to come. So we would love to get to see you as we started talking about road tripping around all these things. Aaron, you didn't get a chance to price out, like, you know, mini bus rental or anything like that, did you?
No, nothing like that, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Well,
I didn't know
we'll
I was supposed
soon.
To, but I could take.
Well, you sounded so excited about it that I assumed, you know, that you would. Anyway, coming up this morning, we've talked about this once or twice, but we really can't say enough that there is this outright Orwellian plan for abortion misinformation. Republicans have introduced a bill that, if passed, would create a federal anti-abortion website that provides misleading information about abortion, directs women to so-called health centers that pressure them not to have abortions, and could even collect their personal information to share with anti-abortion groups. We will talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about that. And then in our next hour, we're going to visit with Mark Jacob for an episode we've titled Mussolini, on-time trains and the New York Times. Because despite the line that gets used a lot, it's actually a lie that the Italian dictator Mussolini actually made sure that the trains ran on time out of Rome, and that was justification for a fascist government. But if you said it often enough, people began to believe it. And, you know, to this day, the myth lives on. And that's the lesson to remember when you have the New York Times running with headlines praising Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for, quote, taking on the education establishment, end quote, when what he's really trying to do is erase Black history from classrooms and do so much more. So Mark Jacob, a former editor at the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, will talk about the media coverage of this week's top stories. I think we'll also talk to UW Eau Claire Athletic Director Dan Schumacher for some sports headlines to get us into the weekend, and perhaps your phone calls if you'd like to join us at 844-967-2789, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you already heard Aaron Zommers there, our producer back in Madison. And now you're going to hear me again tell you there's a big primary election coming up February 21st for Wisconsin State Supreme Court and other local offices. So do make a plan, mark it on your calendar, or get an absentee ballot. You can do that by going online and going to myvote.wi.gov. Apparently, we missed one of the more exciting Milwaukee Bucks games of the season last night. The Bucks were down as much as 21 points at one point to the Los Angeles Clippers at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee before beginning a comeback. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 20 of his 54 points in the fourth quarter, and the Bucks overcame that deficit to win 106-105 for their sixth consecutive victory. Chris Middleton had 16 points. Drew Holiday had 12 more himself. The Bucks on Saturday night will host Miami. And what did Giannis do here? He was talking about, I guess, remember in the NBA Finals, he famously went to, Chick-fil-A after he scored 50 points in a playoff game and helped the Bucks win the title. And so now that he has scored over 50 points again, he already has an idea for how to commemorate it as he reached it for the third time in the last month. He says, quote, "Tomorrow, I think I'm going to go to Culver's. I'm going to get 50 cheeseburgers and try to eat as many as I can. The rest, I'll have my son eat them or I'll give them to my dog." Probably not the exact way that Culver's, you know, PR writers would write it, but they are damn good burgers. So whoever Giannis wants to feed them to, as long as he gets 50 for scoring 50 points, good on him.
Yeah, as far as the burgers to the dog, though, I don't know about that.
Well, I don't think it's going to get there. I've had the butter burgers, and I'm not sharing them with the dog. They're too damn good, like I said. Fair. More after this. You're up north.
Hey, everybody, how we doing?
From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology. It starts with good genetics, and Rank Seed evaluates more than 80,000 data points of breeding material. By planting plots throughout the Midwest and Great Plains, we expose our genetics to a wide range of environments, which helps us select the best varieties. We then utilize the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our customers. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory continues until noon today. High temperatures reach up to 6 above today. Under mainly sunny skies, northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 2 above tonight. Overcast skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 30. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 8 below.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
As Jimmy Buffett tells us about one particular harbor, we will talk about Wisconsin's harbors and keeping the infrastructure intact coming up in just a little bit. First off, the Badger men's basketball team held off Ohio State last night, 65-60. The Badgers will host Northwestern on Sunday. On Monday, we will be talking to George Penn of United to Amend as we talk about the continuing push to get an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that says something that should be so self-evident, that corporations are not people. And yet somehow, currently, through a twisted interpretation of current law, we have the ability in this country for corporations to contribute just like people can to political campaigns. And that's why they've become so expensive. And so George Penn will talk about the efforts their group is doing. It's going to take, this is a very long, multi-year effort to finally get enough support in Congress to do this and then send it out to the states and get states to ratify it. And again, even though this thing sounds so obvious, the folks who benefit the most from corporate donations are the ones who naturally are going to fight against it. So we will have that discussion come Monday. All right. There are a lot of little headlines to catch here, and then a couple of big ones that we'll get throughout the day. One of the smaller ones, but hence the bumper music, was just I wanted to offer up a reminder that when we talk about infrastructure, and we've talked about it in so many ways lately, not just roads and bridges, but broadband and, you know, water and sewer lines. And we talked with Julie Lassa earlier this week about updating the electric grid in rural Wisconsin. And we get so many press releases, every newsroom does, and can only bring you so many throughout the course of the day. And every so often, I want to pass along one that probably gets overlooked. But this one is where Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation announce a new round of work to be done for 7 different harbor projects around Wisconsin. We think of all the goods that come in and out of Wisconsin, especially the stuff that goes out, the things that we make, the things that our farmers grow and what have you, things that are assembled here. And if you ask people, how do they get out of here? People, I would guess, say truck, first of all. And obviously, that's extremely important. There might be air, but we're on 2 Great Lakes and, you know, and the Mississippi River. So that's, you know, that ain't bad. And the harbors that are around there, much like any other infrastructure, they're susceptible to wear and tear and age. And so the governor was announcing that the Harbor Assistance Program would be making sure that harbor work is done at the Port of Green Bay, Port Milwaukee, La Crosse, Manitowoc, and a couple more projects in La Crosse and Green Bay. Superior certainly seen its share of work as well. And so since that came across, I thought it might be worth noting that, again, when people talk about government spending and everything else that comes along with it, that, yeah, those go to places. And as a result, you have to be very careful with how you do these things. If you do what, say, Republicans want to do and just slash spending by, you know, just a tremendous percentage, what are you going to be doing with places like harbors that, you know, fall into disrepair? Are you going to be counting on the private sector to come along with that? I don't think so. But that's what we get from a group that has, honestly, to this point, is still continuing the lies of the 2020 election. And now there is newly released audio that offers a behind-the-scenes look at how former President Donald Trump's campaign team, in a pivotal battleground state of Wisconsin, they knew at the time, shortly after the election, that they had been outflanked by Democrats. They knew they lost. They knew the margin. But even in acknowledging the defeat internally, this new audio recording shows that they were quick to pivot to made-up allegations of widespread fraud. The audio is from 2 days after the election, so November 5th, 2020. And Trump, again, was continuing to lie about the legitimacy of the outcome. But even 2 days after the election, it was apparent to the folks in this Wisconsin meeting of political operatives that they had lost. They went so far as to praise Democratic turnout efforts and yet also joke about the efforts by Republicans to engage Black voters. The audio recording was obtained by the Associated Press from somebody who was in the meeting but wants to remain unidentified. Go figure. The central figure of the audio recording, his name is Andrew Iverson, and he was the head of Trump's campaign in the state. And we're going to play the clip here, but I'm going to tell it to you first because the audio is rather distant and faint. But what you're going to hear is Iverson talking about comms, meaning the communications team. Comms is going to continue to fan the flame and get the word out about Democrats trying to steal this election. We'll do whatever they need, just be on standby if there's any stunts we need to pull, Iverson said. And here's the audio version of Iverson's quote.
Comms is going to continue to fan the flame and get the word out about Democrats trying to steal this election. We'll do whatever they need their help with. Okay, so just be on standby in case there's any stunts we need to pull.
Any stunts we need to pull. That's what we're seeing for just what is accepted as normal behavior in elections these days. Iverson is still with the Republican National Committee. He is the Midwest Regional Director. He deferred any comment when the Associated Press reached out to him. In response to questions about the audio, a Trump campaign spokesperson said that they're focused on 2024. And that claiming that President Trump is leading by wide margins in poll after poll about 2024. I don't know what polls that might be. But to get back to the recording, folks knew at that point Biden was ahead of Trump by about 21,000 votes. And parts of the meeting of these Republican Trump operatives focused on packing up the campaign offices, writing final reports. Iverson is heard on tape praising the Republicans' efforts while admitting the margin of defeat. He pointed out that they had collected more votes than any other Republican in Wisconsin history, so they are very proud of themselves. But he says Democrats got 20,000 more out of us, out of Dane County, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Dane County. There's a lot that people can learn from this campaign, end quote. And then later there was some joking about, you know, part of the Republican effort to do outreach, such as it was in the state's Black community. And Iverson at one point gets a laugh from the crowd about how the Trump campaign needed more Black voices. And then he says, we ever talked to Black people before? I don't think so, he said, getting laughter from the room. So then, of course, what do you see after that? You see the Trump campaign team focusing only on the largest cities in Wisconsin, and especially the cities with the largest communities of color. And again, making it sound like there's yet another justification for, whether you want to call it white grievance, whether you want to call it rural urban animosity. These are things that should not and would not exist if it weren't for people making up stuff about it and lying to people. And so that when their candidate loses, they're looking for an excuse rather than acknowledging that maybe they didn't win on their ideas. Maybe they didn't win from having, you know, the best candidate. Instead they're focused on these other, you know, grievances of some sort or another, which takes us to one other quick story here about a survey of students. And this is on University of Wisconsin campuses. And the survey says that students are afraid to express their views on controversial topics in class because they fear other students won't agree or that it could hurt their findings. Meanwhile, there is about a third of respondents who say they have felt pressure from an instructor to agree with a certain viewpoint. And this all really feeds into Republican talking points about whether full views can be expressed, you know, across academic campuses. But further down in the story, you note where the survey came from. It was UW Stout's Menard Center for Public Policy and Service. And folks around here know about the Menard family. John Menard, the founder of the chain, that family is a major Republican donor that founded the home improvement store chain, donated $2.5 million to the center in 2019, contributed $100,000 toward the survey. There was a UW-Madison political science professor who ran unsuccessfully for attorney general who sat on an advisory board. It's a survey that at one point got UW-Whitewater's chancellor so angry that he resigned about it because he said that it was clear that the survey basically should not be done, that there would be, you know, political consequences if it were. And it really got away from the point of the fostering of communication that does, in fact, go on our campuses, and that this was nothing more than basically a partisan tool. But again, we see the case where if you have to simply talk about the environment rather than your ideas, that's an intentional distraction. And it gets away from, you know, why are you really engaged in public service? So how do they address this in the halls of Congress? Well, yesterday it came through kicking Congresswoman Ilhan Omar off of a committee for anti-Semitic comments that she had made a couple of years ago and had since apologized for, the same Republicans who then put on committees some of their members who actually had rhetoric threatening violence against other members of Congress. So again, you see the double standard that's at play there. So what did they end up doing yesterday? Well, they brought forward a bill, the Republicans did, to, quote, denounce socialism in all of its forms. And if you were going to go read something on Twitter or otherwise, I would recommend Illinois Democratic Congressman Sean Casten, who says, okay, do we really want to talk about capitalism and socialism? And he gets into the whole notion of people like Republicans who can't stop talking about socialism, who don't understand that a civil society basically depends on capitalism at one end, but then there are things, the allocations of resources, you know, our roads, our harbors, our schools, things like that, where you don't necessarily want to be at the whims of the private sector. And yet when government provides those services, it's called socialism. And that's not right. But again, it's a convenient talking point for Republicans who can't win on their ideas. We will talk to Kia Vakil coming up in our next segment on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. A suspected Chinese balloon still flying high above western states, last seen over Montana near some nuclear missile silo fields and well above commercial air traffic, the U.S. military deciding for now not to shoot it down. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
The administration facing growing criticism. And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calling for a meeting of the so-called Gang of Eight, the top congressional leaders, saying China's brazen disregard for U.S. sovereignty is a destabilizing action that must be addressed.
Later this morning, the federal government releases its latest jobs numbers. Analysts expect job growth is to slow slightly, but they say big corporate layoffs have made the true unemployment picture unclear. Bitter cold now sweeping into the Northeast after leaving parts of the Midwest and the South in a deep freeze. Austin, Texas now reporting more than 280,000 power outages, and icy roads are being blamed for at least 10 deaths in Texas, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. This is ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from
North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
All aboard!
Oh, of all the crazy ideas that have come out of Congress so far since Republicans took over the House, we have a real doozy, one that is downright Orwellian, and it's now at the UpNorthNewsWI.com site, and we first heard about it from our national correspondent, Kia Vakil, who's out in California, so rather than talk to him at 4:30 in the morning, we talked to him at a more humane hour, and let's play back our little review of the past week. Kia, how are you this week?
I'm pretty well, Pat. How about yourself?
Great. Thank you. So glad to have you here again to help us sum up some of the events of this week. And to me, if you tried to come up with a theme for the week, the theme seems to be Republicans taking lots of action, almost none of it that was supported by American voters who thought they were going to be working on inflation and things like that. And we have an entire grab bag of things to talk about, from, you know, repealing amendments to the Constitution to taking down the COVID emergency. But I want to start with one you've been working on recently that, along with all the other things that Republicans could be working on but aren't, they're now working on. Did you tell me they'd be government-run crisis pregnancy centers?
So not quite, but what they would be is it would create a government-run website. This is a bill introduced by Republican Nancy Mace in the House and Marco Rubio in Florida. It's called the Standing with Moms Act. Basically, it would create this government-run website called life.gov, which would provide pregnant women with information and resources, but a lot of that information would be basically anti-abortion. It would have misleading information, and it would, you know, ask them for their, you know, they could put in their zip code and be given private resources in their area, which is code for crisis pregnancy centers, which, for those who don't know, are basically these facilities that advertise deceivingly as, you know, being reproductive healthcare facilities, but do not offer abortion and pretty much exist to discourage abortion.
And so by putting that through a government-run website, you would, if this were to pass, and of course it's not with President Biden in office, but if this were to go through, they're actually sponsoring a bill for a government-sanctioned misinformation site, an official one.
That is correct. And
wow.
If that isn't bad enough, there's also a measure in the bill that would require the Health and Human Services Department to create a portal on its own website separate from life.gov. And on that website, it would, on that portal, they would survey visitors to the website about where they live, their pregnancy, what the information they need. And if that user checks a box or otherwise consents to having their personal information collected, which, as we often know, is often a default measure, you know, a lot of people don't realize they're checking a box, HHS could then directly follow up with them by phone or by email and share their contact information with crisis pregnancy centers to give them quote-unquote resources.
I did not ask to live in Orwellian times like this, that this is actually being considered. And you know what it reminds me of? Reminds me that Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels has donated to a group that essentially uses, you know, electronic surveillance to monitor the cell phones of women who go near clinics that perform abortions and send advertising to those phones for things like crisis pregnancy centers. This is really something, the digital lengths to which they're willing to go to spread misinformation and curtail women's healthcare rights.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, Nancy Mace is considered one of the more moderate Republicans on abortion. And look, there's giving pregnant women information is not inherently bad, obviously, but you have to give them the whole scope of information. You have to give them, if they're interested in abortion, give them that information. If they're not, give them the other information. And where this gets really kind of deceptive is it's, you know, when you write private resources or private, you know, healthcare providers, if you're not allowing them to be abortion providers, what that is then is a crisis pregnancy center. And so it's really coded in the way Republicans love to do. And because it's being introduced in a way that seems kind of reasonable and moderate on its surface, it's not getting a whole lot of attention. It's not going to pass, like you said, but it's Orwellian, like you said. And we are seeing Republicans, you know, the RNC is telling Republicans to double down ahead of 2024 on abortion and go harder with their proposed bans, which, you know, seems like a recipe to lose, but they seem like they can't help themselves but targeting people's freedoms.
Exactly. And now, related in terms of healthcare, the other action we're seeing this week. Now, first, we actually saw it from the Biden administration. The Biden administration is saying they're ready to wind down the national emergencies related to COVID-19 so that there is an orderly transition into a new phase. Republicans want to bring the chaos and take down these emergencies right away. And it wasn't until I talked to Dr. Ben Weston in yesterday's Hometown Health segment that it reminded me, taking down these health emergencies, it isn't about removing, you know, like mask mandates and things that we haven't had for the longest time, but the, removing these emergencies actually takes opportunities away from Americans to stay healthy during COVID.
Yeah. I mean, the emergency order that, you know, Biden, I believe it's going to be May 11th. I might have the exact date wrong, but that's when it'll sort of be declared over. And Republicans have voted to want to repeal it immediately. And I mean, there's many problems with that. The biggest one being under the emergency and during the pandemic, millions more people got Medicaid health insurance because of some tweaks to the rules and eligibility. And most of those people are going to wind up losing their Medicaid. And so that means millions of Americans will need to transition to either marketplace plans or like some other form of insurance. And that's a process that will take months to play out because you can't just on February 1st decide, I don't know the exact number, but let's say 7 million people are without health insurance. That would be catastrophic. So a wind down that's, you know, about 3 months in the future makes a whole lot more sense than what Republicans have proposed.
Well, but again, we've seen some of the proposals like a 30% national sales tax or something to end the debt ceiling hostage crisis. At least in my mind, the national media is getting better at saying more explicitly that Republicans are refusing to say what they would cut in exchange. They say they want cuts, but they won't say what. And at least that part of it has become more clear this week, that there's still not an actual plan from congressional Republicans.
Correct. And, you know, they are not committing to what they want to cut. And the fact is, if they want to cut spending in a substantial way, they either have to raise taxes or they have to cut Social Security and Medicare. Those are the, or defense. And they're not saying they want to do that. They have no real plan. And I agree, the media has gotten better about sort of taking that on and, you know, calling out the, let's say, the lack of specifics and the lack of a plan. And frankly, Democrats have also been pretty aggressive about messaging that in a way that's been effective. And, you know, Social Security and Medicare are areas where Democrats are very comfortable talking about that as opposed to some other issues. So I think it's an issue that, you know, time and time again, we see they kind of, Democrats wind up winning those arguments over Republicans because they're incredibly popular programs. And, you know, the lack of a plan, I think, has really become clear.
Well, and you helped create a graphic for Up North News this week about public sentiment on cuts to Social Security or Medicare. It was a CBS News YouGov poll, right?
Correct. And it's, I believe the number was 70% of Americans oppose cuts. And that's just one of, I don't know, half a dozen polls I've seen in the last couple of weeks about asking some version of the question, do you want cuts to Social Security and Medicare? Do you want cuts because of the debt ceiling? So people don't want it. You know, there's polls showing that a majority of Americans think the House Republicans' priorities are, you know, out of touch and wrong. So, you know, we're less than a month into this majority and they're already, you know, an absolute circus that is really just causing chaos.
Yeah. And like I said, in Arizona, Republican legislators are talking about scrapping the 17th Amendment, which allows voters to choose their U.S. senators. They're saying we should go back to the way the founding fathers wanted the legislature to pick the U.S. senators. And I can't help but note how convenient that is coming just as Arizona gets, you know, two Democratic U.S. senators.
Yeah, and a Democratic governor and pretty much Democratic state government in the executive positions. And that's because Republicans are running absolute, you know, extremist candidates. And, you know, that's in Arizona, but you look at any state and you're seeing some version of extremism. And, you know, in North Carolina, Republicans are introducing their Don't Say Gay bill again. You know, in Florida, you see Ron DeSantis really trying to basically install East Germany-like censorship and ban.
Imprisoned school librarians. Kids are crying because there's no more books in their library. It's like the Burgermeister Meisterburger in one of those Christmas specials where he bans all the toys. He's banning all the books in kids' libraries, that all books are basically guilty until proven innocent. In Tennessee, they're going after, you know, drag shows and, you know, talking about felon, making some of that a felony to take part in something like that. Meanwhile, there's now the candidates who may run for president in 2024. And look, while I'm not a big fan of talking about 2024 yet, the fact of the matter is that, well, first off, that's why I'm not leading with it. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it. But, you know, Nikki Haley's name is coming up, the former South Carolina governor, former UN ambassador to President Trump. And it's just people have really noticed how Trump has been rather open to Nikki Haley running, saying, well, if she wants to run, she wants to run. Whereas he's been going after, you know, Ron DeSantis, another potential candidate. It's almost like he's dismissing Nikki Haley, which, you know, that does the Republican Party really need another dose of misogyny?
No, he absolutely is. And I'm sure there's a dose of misogyny because it's Donald Trump. But I think Nikki Haley's not going to win the nomination. I will make that prediction today, and I will eat my shoe if she does, because Nikki Haley is running to be the nominee of a party that no longer exists. The reason he's, you know, attacking DeSantis is because he's threatened by DeSantis, because DeSantis has outmaneuvered him in terms of doing these heinous things that are really popular with the MAGA base, the Republican base. So pretty much just anything that makes liberals cry. And so DeSantis, you know, has shown competitiveness in polls, whereas Nikki Haley is, I think, at like 1-2%. And, you know, I don't see that really changing.
And if anything, and it frankly, it just makes her sound even more craven. It sounds more like she's running for vice president to be somebody's nominee.
Yeah, I think that's quite possible. And I would not be surprised, you know, in the world where DeSantis somehow wins the nomination, if he chose someone like Nikki Haley. But, you know, Donald Trump, you know, he's still the favorite. I think that's something that a lot of people in our political and media climate want to forget. But until someone shows they can, you know, beat him with the base, you know, he's the favorite.
Well, I will say that of the couple of events he held about a week ago here, they were how he would have mockingly referred to them as low energy. This is not the same Donald Trump that we saw in 2015, because, you know, time does what time does. I'm not as young as I used to be either. And I don't know that fire in the belly from 2015 is going to come back. And I don't know that the Republican Party is going to play this game the same way as they did when he knocked off a very large field in 2015.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they want someone else, and it, by all indications, the vast majority of Republicans want someone else, Republican politicians, whether they'll say it publicly or not, it needs to be one or two other candidates in the field against him so that they consolidate, and that there's not, you know, Scott Walker and Ben Carson and Marco Rubio and Scott Walker. God bless Scott Walker for thinking he could be president. But,
right.
You know, unless that happens, he's the favorite.
Guy Vakil, Courier Newsroom national correspondent from L.A. It's always so good to talk to you. Have a great weekend, and thank you so much for the update.
Likewise. Thank you, Pat.
One other update from the Republican National Committee. They're now indicating that Milwaukee will be one of the sites of a Republican primary debate as part of the 2024 campaign. And while that is noteworthy, I think there's a more noteworthy story about Wisconsin elections. An audit of the voting machines has recently been completed, and the Wisconsin Elections Commission noted that it found no machine-related problems, a couple of human errors, but the machines work. They work as intended. And we'll talk more about that, I think, in our next hour. Courier Newsroom political editorial director Carolyn Fidler joins us for This Day in History and music and more next. You're up north.
It's easy to listen. Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your name, Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, man. Matt. I really miss him. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Most reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory continues until noon today. Mainly sunny skies and calm today, with daytime highs approaching 6 above. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 2 above. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 30. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 8 below.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die."
The melancholy mood of the nation is captured by Don McLean after the day the music died, when Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the big bopper J.P. Richardson passed away in a plane crash on this day in 1959. We'll have much more upbeat musical things to talk about and this day in history next with our Friday friend, Carolyn Fidler, Courier Newsroom's political editorial director. Carolyn, how are you?
Friday friend, I love it.
Well, it's not that you're not our friend the other days of the week, but
yeah, the rest of it, I can't stand you, Pat.
The rest of it, you're more of an acquaintance. You know, right. We might acknowledge that we know you, but on Friday, we know we get to talk about your newsletter, all about state house action around the country, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. But first, we always just enjoy kind of kicking around what this day in history meant. And in this case, here's a few notes from American history. The Territory of Illinois was created on this day in 1809, which I'm reasonably certain extended into much of Wisconsin from back in the day. Let's see, we have in 1870, the 15th Amendment to the Constitution granted voting rights to all men, regardless of race. So it was no longer just like white landowners. So what do you think, Fiddler? Good enough? Should we have just stopped right there?
Nah.
So that, again, that was 1870. At that point, Wisconsin's abortion ban was already 21 years old, and women would not get the right to vote for another 50 years after that. So when we talk about making incremental progress, that was definitely an increment. That wasn't the full amount of progress. That
yeah, had to not be done. At all.
Nope. The income tax was authorized by the 16th Amendment, ratified this day in 1913. Let's get back to the music and bring us to 1964, when there was a whole lot of Beatles on the chart, and then one other from the Beach Boys. Which, like the Beatles, you can hear like a little, you know, Bo Diddley influence, you know, a little rhythm and blues, and this, of course, is fun, but it would only get as high as number 5 on the charts because the Beatles held spots 1, 2, 3, and 4 on this day in 1964, which, Carolyn, I couldn't even imagine until that new Taylor Swift album came out and she had, like, the entire top 10.
Right. The Beatles of our time. The Beatles of our time?
The Beatle of our time? Yeah, that could be. But, you know, I've said before,
the kids back then, the kids and their rock and roll music, they had to go to the record store and actually buy those records for it to be on the charts. And downloading is so much easier now. And not that I can tell you that I have not waited until midnight to download somebody's entire album, but maybe you have.
Oh, I definitely have.
Oh, you have? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. What's since the Grammys are this weekend, let me ask, what have been some of your most recent favorite tunes, albums, artists that you've downloaded?
Well, I wouldn't say super recent, but like the last time I stayed up from midnight for anything, either to go out and buy an album or download it, was U2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I looked at the Grammy list, and we talked about it a little bit the other day. And I mean, there's only so many ways you can tell people you're old when you don't know, you know, this artist or that artist in the Grammy list. You know, others I do, and I'm still going to watch and go, you know, I really should listen to some of this younger stuff a little bit more often. But instead, I'm stuck in the 70s, like the Village People here in 1979. Here Come the Village People from 1979. There we go. Sometimes I can't get the record on the turntable just in time. Young man, there's no need to feel down. Okay, yes or no, Carolyn? YMCA was a number one hit for the Village People.
No.
No, see, yeah, see, you right away caught the trick question. It peaked at number two for 3 weeks, because a couple of other disco hits held the number one spot, including La Freak and Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy? Yeah. Which, again, we've demonstrated why 1979 will not be remembered as music's greatest year. And yet, could they have imagined the YMCA still living on to this day, you know, during, you know, breaks in sports events and things like that? I mean,
I hope they're still getting paid a lot of money.
I hope so, too. Let's see. 1979, the Blues Brothers hit number one. John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd. Number one album with Briefcase Full of Blues. And, of course, there's a lot of great music in the Blues Brothers. Here's Dan Aykroyd doing Rubber Biscuit. I don't know why more people don't try to lip sync that one. Apparently, you need a little bit of talent to do that.
Yeah. This is the birthday in front of your lips.
You're using your finger in there. Does Aykroyd? I don't know. Maybe he.
Doubtful.
Yeah, he probably does. Let's see. Here again. Old man alert. Sean Kingston, American Jamaican singer songwriter, born on this day in 1990. Making him 33 years old. And I did see that he had a collaboration with Justin Bieber, but otherwise that might be the extent of my knowledge of the oeuvre of Sean Kingston. So nobody else is rushing in to fill the void, so I'm going to move on. On this day in 1997, David Bowie releases Earthling, his 21st studio album, including here's a little snippet from I'm Afraid of Americans. And one more musical note from this day in 2001, we had this catchy little ditty by Shaggy.
Yes. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing
there, she never took her eyes off me. Here's what I didn't know before. The song is actually based on an Eddie Murphy bit about what to do if you're caught cheating. It's just to say it wasn't me. I mean, Carolyn, that's right in our political bailiwick. How many politicians have been like, oh, no, that's not what you... Are you going to believe me, or are you going to believe your lying eyes?
Lying eyes, yeah. No, that's perfect. That happens these days, it feels like.
Yes. Yeah, but again, catchy. And a message for everybody. Don't do what politicians and singers tell you to do, because we should expect better of ourselves. We're going to hold you over and talk to you in the next segment. But in the 30 seconds or so we got left, you want to give a little preview? Is there a theme this week in the State House Action newsletter?
I mean, a little bit, but not really. I mean, yesterday was Groundhog Day. So, you know, nothing.
So I go back and revisit some stuff I discussed earlier in newsletters, like the Ohio House Speaker debacle. There's that situation is still going on, and there's infighting among the Republicans and the majority in the Ohio House, and they're arguing over who controls the credit card for the campaign account.
More proof that we are not the most dysfunctional state. We're just right up there. Carolyn Fiddler will join us again at the top of the next hour here on Up North News Radio.
Wasn't me. Saw me kissing on the sofa. Wasn't me. I even had her in the shower. Wasn't me.
You know him as the nose.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CVV Green Bay.